Saram and welcome once again to Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today we have a bhajan adoring Lord Shiva, worshipping Bhagwan as Shiva, Shambho, Shankara, the beautiful names by which Lord Maheshwara is adored. This is the first line of the bhajan.
Shankara, 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 Shambho Shankara.
So this is what we will learn now. It's a very beautiful bhajan which has many lines, and in this classroom we will take every line and try to understand the tune, the raga, the bhava. We will spend more time understanding what is the meaning of every word of this bhajan. And in the end, you will listen to the Prashanti Mandir version of this tune. So let's get started with the lyrics.
Shankara, 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 Shambho, Shankara, Shiva, Shambho, Hara, Shambho, Shiva, 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 Shambho, Shiva, Shambho, Hara, Shambho, Shambho, Shankara, Saisha, Trishula, Dhari, Trinetra, Dhari, Shiva, Shambho, Hara, Shambho, Shambho, Shankara, Saisha.
Now that you are familiar with the lyrics, this is how the bhajan should be sung. As you listen to the tune, please do follow line after line so that you get a grasp of the way the bhajan flows.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale C Pancham. Shankara, 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 Shambho Shankara.
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 Shiva Shambho, Hara Shambho, Shiva, 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 Shambho.
Shiva, Shambho, Hara, 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 Shambho,
Shiva, Shambho, Hara, Shambho,
Shambho, Shankara, Saisha,
Shambho, Shankara, Saisha,
Trishula, Dhari, Trinetra Dhari,
Trishula Dhari, త్రినేత్రధారీ
త్రిశూలధారీ త్రినేత్రధారీ
త్రిశూలధారీ త్రినేత్రధారీ
శివ శంభో హర శంభో
శివ శంభో హర శంభో
శంభో శంకర సాయిషా
శంభో శంకర సాయిషా
శంకర 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 శంభో శంకరా.
So that is the lovely bhajan, adoring Lord Shiva. The way it flows, it has its beautiful highs and lows. Let us understand a little more about the composition from Anirudh. So which is the raga behind this tune, Anirudh?
Saram Vishu.
Saram.
This beautiful Shiva bhajan is based on raga Keeravani. And I'm sure this is a very popular raga. And many Sai bhajans are composed in this raga. It has very deep emotion. If you go through the swaras, you'll be able to figure it out.
Sa re
shudri ga komal ga
ma pa dha
komal dha
ni ni ni
shudhni
sa ni dha pa Magari sa sa re ga ma pa dha ni 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 sa sa ni dha pa ma ga re sa.
As you mentioned, there are so many bhajans and songs in this raga.
Yeah, the very first bhajan which comes to my mind is
Jay Kailash Pate Shiva Shankar Sab Sada Shiva Shambho.
And the composition is made in such a way that you take the bass raga as Keeravani and then play around with it by introducing Komal Ni along with the Shuddhni.
Padhani Sanida Padhani Sa.
That is a Keeravani approach.
Padhani da pa madha pa.
So, it becomes a Darbari and a Keeravani approach when you have the Komal Ni, which is very beautiful because I'm sure it comes instantaneously to the composer. Such deviations and approaches for the composition, I'm sure it would have triggered instantaneously, or it's rather very difficult to make a composition which has to go through the other note and then come back to this, and because when you hum naturally it comes. So the Shuddhini, Komalni. You didn't even know that I went to the major ga, which is the Shuddha ga. So it is as the music flows, the composition is.
Yes.
And such expressions bring out the emotion and connect the devotees to the respective god or deity in which the bhajan is composed. In this case, it's a beautiful Shiva bhajan. And especially the power in this bhajan is in the high pitch, which goes
Trishula Dhari, Trinetra Dhari.
And I'm sure the composition is made in such a way that it's full open-throated singing of calling out to the Lord in that deep emotion.
Shiva Shambho, Hara Shambho, Shambho Shankara Saisha.
So it is like covering the Arohana and the Avarohana.
Sarigama Padha Garisa.
It has wide dynamic range also, so that the singer has to take the bhajan in the proper shruti, because it has low and it goes high as well.
Yes, and that really amplifies the emotion when you have a line that goes from low to the higher octave in the same line, you know.
Yes, something similar to
Pratishwara Sai Shiva Shambho.
We sing in the lower octave,
yes,
in the bhajan,
yes,
but as a third speed, we sing it in the same line, the higher octave.
Yes.
The power, the feel, it just gets amplified.
Yes. Since we are talking so much about the beauty of this raga, maybe you should do a little alap to give a feel of how this raga has been instrumental in conveying beautiful emotions through several bhajans.
Sure, Bishu, I will try to do an alap in this raga. Nevertheless, as the music flows, I'll just sing.
ಜೀವಲೋಚನ ಜಯ ಜಯ ರಾಮ ರಘುಕುಲ ಭೂಷಣ ಜಯ ರಘುರಾಮ ರಘುನಂದನ ಹೇ ರಘುನಂದನ ಜಯ ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ಜಯ ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ಜಯ ಸೀತಾರಾಮ ಹರಿ.
ದೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಸಮ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಭಜನ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಕೀರವಾಣಿ.
ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್. ಸೊ ವಿಲ್ ಗೋ ಟು ದ ಸ್ವರಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ಭಜನ್.
ಯೆಸ್, ಸೊ ಲೆಟ್ಸ್ ಟೇಕ್ ದ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಲೈನ್.
ಶಂಕರ 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 ಶಂಭೋ ಶಂಕರ ಪಾಧ ಪಮ ಪಮ ಗ ಮ ಗರಿ ಗರಿ ಸ ಸಾಧನಿ ಧ
ಪಾಧ ಪಮ ಪಮ ಗ ಮ ಗರಿ ಗರಿ ಸ ಸಾಧನಿ ಧ ಪ
ಶಿವ ಶಂಭೋ ಹರ ಶಂಭೋ ಶಿವ 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 ಶಂಭೋ ಸ ಸ ಸ ಸರಿ ಸ ನಿರಿ ರಿ 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 ಗರಿ ಸ ಗ ಗ ಗರಿ ಸರಿ ಸ ನಿರಿ ರಿ ಗರಿ ಸ
ಸ ಸ ಸ ಸರಿ ಸ ನಿರಿ ರಿ 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 ಗರಿ ಸ ಗ ಗ ಗರಿ ಸರಿ ಸ ನಿರಿ
ಶಿವ ಶಂಭೋ ಹರ ಶಂಭೋ ಪದ ಸನಿ ಮಮ ಧಾಪ
ಪದ ಸನಿ ಮಮ ಧಾಪ
ಶಂಭೋ ಶಂಕರ ಸಾಯೀಶ ಸರಿ ಗ ಮ ಪ ಧ ಗ ರಿ ಸ
ಸರಿ ಗ ಮ ಪ ಧ ಗ ರಿ ಸ
ತ್ರಿಶೂಲ ಧಾರಿ ತ್ರಿನೇತ್ರ ಧಾರಿ ಗಗರಿ ಸರಿ ಮಗ ರಿ ರಿ ಸನಿ ಸಗರಿ
ಗಗರಿ ಸರಿ ಮಗ ರಿ ರಿ ಸನಿ ಸಗರಿ.
ದ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಟೂ ಲೈನ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ದ ರಿಪೀಟೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್
ಶಿವ ಶಂಭೋ ಹರ ಶಂಭೋ.
ಸೊ ದ ಸೇಮ್ ಸೆಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಸ್ವರಾಸ್ ಅಪ್ಲೈ ಫಾರ್ ದಟ್.
ಪದ ಸನಿ ಮಮ ಧಾಪ
ಫಾಲೋಡ್ ಬೈ
ಶಂಭೋ ಶಂಕರ ಸಾಯೀಶ ಸರಿ ಗ ಮ ಪದ ಗ ರಿ ಸ.
ದ ಬೀಟ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಇಸ್ ದ ಯೂಶುವಲ್ 8 ಬೀಟ್.
ಯೆಸ್, ದ ಬೀಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ಭಜನ್ ಇಸ್ 8 ಬೀಟ್. ಆದಿ ತಾಲಮ್ ಅವರ್ ಕೆಹರ್ವಾ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಕ್ಲಾಸಿಕಲ್ ಮ್ಯೂಸಿಕ್. Let's have the count.
1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4 Shankara 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 Shambho Shankara
Shankara Shankara Shankara Shankara Shambho Shankara.
So that gives us a fairly good idea of the swaras, the raga and the beat. Thank you Anirudh, Anand and Gokul.
Thank you, Bishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So with this we are done with the raga, the beat of the bhajan. It's time now to focus and concentrate on what the bhajan is trying to tell us. How we can use this bhajan to connect with Bhagwan. The first line, Shankara, 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 Shambho, Shankara. Bhagwan has mentioned Shankara comes from the word Sam, which means goodness, auspiciousness. Kara means to confer. Shankara is one who confers goodness and holiness. Shambho also can be split into Sham, means peace or bliss. Bhu is to cause. Shambho refers to Lord Shiva as the bestower of peace and bliss. Another interesting meaning of Shankara is Shanka means doubt. Hara means to destroy. Shankara is one who dispels our doubts and confers on us wisdom. Shankara, Shambho, these are words which are redolent with the meaning of auspiciousness, and Shankara removes all our doubts. On the 20th of October 1969, the valedictory function of the Veda Purusha Saptah Gyana Yajna was being performed in Prashant Nilayam, the sacrificial rite that happens during Dasara celebrations. On this occasion, Bhagwan created a 9-gem necklace for the chief priest who officiated the function. He was a scholar in Vedanta and Vedic grammar. During the Abhishekam or the sacred ritual, sacred ritualistic bath of the image of Shirdi Sai, Bhagwan created a sparkling 8-starred jewel of gold and he placed it on the forehead of the silver idol. When this gold jewel got fixed on the silver idol, Dr. S. Bhagwantam and another Westerner, Mr. Tideman Johnson, who were there in the crowd, they started wondering how could gold stick to silver without an adhesive. A few hours later, without anyone telling Bhagwan about the doubts in these people's minds, Bhagwan came to them and said, if I can create the jewel, can I not make it stick too? When you doubt one incident, you doubt all. Accept me for what I am, then no doubt can interfere with your faith. Bhagwan went on and said, you complain that God is hard-hearted, that he does not respond to prayer or give signs from his portraits or speak from nowhere to assuage or assure. But let me tell you, God is love and love is God. When there is no response, you have to infer that the cry from your heart is insincere. It is mere play-acting. It is set to a pattern addressed to someone alien to you, someone accepted by you as a faraway tyrant or a taskmaster. Know that God is your nearest and dearest kin. So this was one occasion where Bhagwan as Shankara removed the doubts in the mind of Dr. Bhagwantam and Mr. Johnson and told them how to add auspiciousness to their life, how to convert everything that is unholy into holy through the power of faith. Let's move on to the next line. In this bhajan, you're going to have these names of Shiva come again and again. Shambho, Shankara, Hara. The new word that comes here is Hara. Hara again refers to the Lord removing, Harana, removing all the obstacles on the path of spiritual progress. So this line is Shiva Shambho, Hara Shambho, Shiva 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 Shambho. During the Shivratri discourse of 1973, Bhagwan beautifully elaborated on the word Shiva and said, Shiva means all graciousness, ever auspicious, Sarva Mangalam. When the divine takes a human form, you generally have the epithet Shri added to the name, and that is how you have Shri Rama, Shri Krishna. That is done to distinguish them from other humans. But for Shiva, we do not have Shri Shiva, Shri Shankara, because Shiva is eternally gracious, eternally auspicious, eternally Mangalam. On 14 June 1968, Bhagwan was in Mumbai at the residence of the then Minister of Agriculture, Shri P.K. Sawant. Also present on that occasion was the editor of Navkal, a Gujarati newspaper. This editor was then running a series of articles on miracles, and he desired to ask Bhagwan about them and publish Swami's answers. Bhagwan graciously permitted him. In fact, the editor became encouraged by Bhagwan's replies. Even before he started the questions, Bhagwan, with a smile, said, "I know the background of your questions. Go on, ask them." Many amateur sadhakas and half-baked monks declare that miracles are sacrilegious on God and they provoke divine anger and invoke divine punishment. One such person, when specifically asked about the miracles that Bhagwan used to perform, he said, "An integrated human being has a lot of power over the cosmic happenings, but to interfere with the laws of the divine is a sin." So according to this person, Bhagwan's acts were interference with the laws of nature, laws of the divine, and he considered that to be a sin. Dr. S. Bhagavantam, former scientific advisor to the Ministry of Defense, spoke of this interference with the law at a meeting in Chennai in April 1967. He said, "Professor Gokak read a poem before you at yesterday's session wherein he described Bhagwan and his activities. And he said he comes like a storm, he pours kindness like a shower of rain. All that was very nice, I like them. But towards the end, Professor Gokak trespassed upon my field. He said, Baba defies the laws of physics and chemistry." Referring to this, Dr. Bhagwantam then said, "Having learned physics and chemistry for many years during my youth and having practiced physics and chemistry for many years later and taught them and learned them while teaching, I cannot understand any individual like you and me or even the best of men on the planet defying the laws of physics and chemistry and getting away with it." And then Dr. Bhagwantam went on to add, "Swami went on breaking one law after another. I have asked his permission to tell you one or two of these happenings, for they are essential to establish my bona fides. I was an eyewitness to a surgical operation which Bhagwan performed. When it was over, he turned to my son who was present and asked, 'Have you got a length of bandage?' As if he who produced from nowhere the knife and the needle could not produce the bandage cloth. My son replied, 'Yes, father is the head of the Institute of Science. There is a dispensary here. I can telephone to the doctor and get a bandage in 2 minutes. Bhagwan replied, "Oh, 2 minutes? Oh, that is very long. Don't worry." And Swami immediately waved his hand and the bandage was ready for use. Referring to this incident, Dr. Bhagwantam then said, "With due respect to the expertise of Professor Gokak in the use of the English language, I would have preferred him to say, 'Baba, instead of defying the laws of physics, actually transcended the laws of physics and chemistry.'" And then he added, "Now arguing further, with my training in the laboratory and in logic, I cannot accept that he is like you and me, and yet he is transcending the laws of physics and chemistry. How can that be? The fact is, he is a phenomenon. He is transcendental. He is divine." In fact, Bhagwan, on Christmas Day 1970, declared at Mumbai, "There are many who cannot bear to tolerate the splendor that emanates from me, the divinity expressed in and through every act of mine. These people label them as acts of mesmerism, miracles, or feats of magic. Their vocabulary is small, their experience is limited. They hope by these words to cast a slur on the divine. Let me tell you this. Mine is no mesmerism, miracle, or magic. Mine is genuine divine power. Small minds and limited intellects cannot comprehend them. They have no strength or stamina to grasp the magnificence and the majesty. God can do anything. He has all the power in the palm of his hand." And then Bhagwan ended saying, "My body, like all other bodies, is a temporary habitation. But my power is eternal, all-pervasive, ever-dominant. This is the principle of Shiva, the principle of ever auspiciousness, the principle on which never any blemish can attach itself. This is the principle which encompasses in it all the powers, all the grace, and all the love. And that is the principle of Shiva. We move on to the next two lines, Shiva Shambho Hara Shambho, Shambho Shankara Saisha. Here you have the word Saisha coming for the first time. Sai Bhagwan has mentioned on so many occasions, refer to the Divine Mother. Sa is divine, I is mother. Sai Baba, Swami says, means Divine Mother and Father. Baba means Father. Here we are calling out to Bhagwan as the principle of Lord Shiva, Saisha. Going back to that incident of the editor of Navkal asking Bhagwan's questions, on that day as the editor was putting forth his queries to Bhagwan, there was another gentleman, Bharde, and he had written about Bhagwan a few weeks earlier in the same newspaper, Navkal, wherein he said, "I have not so far seen any person who does miracles as naturally, as spontaneously as Sri Satya Sai Baba." He stood before the idol of Rukmini at the famous shrine of Pandharpur and waved his hand, saying, "The most important jewel is not found on this idol." And as he said so, a necklace of gold, the auspicious jewel, appeared right in front of all of us in the palm of his hand. He then placed the jewel round the neck of the idol, and the jewel is still there. Sri Bharde asked Bhagwan that day, "Is your power to create things inexhaustible?" And Swami answered, "It is limitless, it is as the ocean. Everyone, wherever he is, whoever it be, can take from this. Whatever one needs, they can take from this to their heart's content." Then immediately Honorable Mr. P.K. Sawant emboldened himself to ask, "Swami, if it is inexhaustible and limitless, why is it not used to cure the poverty and misery of mankind?" Immediately Swami laughed outrightly and said, "You equate poverty and misery with the non-possession of things. Sovereigns can command all things that confer happiness and joy, but are they content? Are they having mental peace?" And Bhagwan went on to declare, "My task is to confer mental equanimity. I do not give things to people in order to make them richer. I give in order to foster devotion and faith in them." And this is what Shiva does. This is what Bhagwan, as Shiva Shakti Swarupa, continuously is working on all of us to confer on us that devotion, that faith, that mental equanimity. Once Bhagwan gave to a very rich man a big-sized diamond, and this man says, "Every time I look at this diamond, I am reminded of the pregnant words with which Baba put it on my finger." Swami said, "This is not a diamond. This is an upadesh. This is a message, a constant warning for you. Die mind. Let the mind with all its likes and dislikes disappear and leave you in peace." Bhagwan once told Mr. Sawant, "A sick person comes to me, I give him something, I create vibhuti or some article, he becomes conscious of divine power, and that gives him peace, that cures him, that comforts him. It is not that I give these things only to those devoted to me, I give whenever it is necessary to turn the afflicted towards God." That is the principle of Shiva, and that is what anyone who has been in the ambit of the grace of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba has experienced and continues to experience. Every act of Bhagwan is towards taking us on the path of God consciousness. And that is why he is Shiva. He all the time wishes the welfare, not just of our body, but of our mind, of our soul. And that is why he is the most auspicious Sarva Mangalam principle of this universe. We move on to the next line. Trishuladhari Trinetradhari. On one occasion, Bhagwan said, "Silence is Ishvara. Shiva is silence." That is why you generally see Shiva seated in the posture of meditation, calm, composed. Shiva is described as Trinetra, Trishula and Trigunatita. Swami said, the inner significance of this is, man has two eyes, but Shiva has three. And what are these three eyes? Trinetra means the one with three eyes. Trishula means the one with the weapon called the trident, which has three spikes. Swami said, Shiva has the principle of three attached to him because he is the master of past, present and future. This does not mean that Shiva has one more third eye on his forehead. That is an artist's imagination. The inner significance is Shiva is the principle that encompasses the past, the present and the future. And that is why he knows what is best for us. And that is why he guides us towards the most auspicious path in our journey to God. That is the principle of Shiva. He alone knows how to make our lives auspicious because he is the auspiciousness himself. Let's move on to the next two lines. Shiva Shambho, Hara Shambho, Shambho Shankara Saisha. Again, these are words that have come before. On Mahashivratri of 1970, a flood of devotees flowed into Prashanthi Nilayam. There was tremendous rush, but absolute silence. Bhagwan told the young men and women who had come to volunteer, "You yearn to do some seva in my name, don't you? Well, I have 1,000 heads, eyes and feet. The Vedas proclaim that God is Sahasra Shirsha Purusha. He has 1,000 heads. Bhagwan told these sevadal volunteers, "The thousands who have come here, the aged, the children, the diseased, the afflicted, they are all me. Serve them and you serve me." The way to make our lives auspicious is by sharing the love of God with another man. That was the message Bhagwan gave on Shivratri in 1970. Bhagwan hoisted the flag on the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir and said that loyalty to higher truths has to be built up from childhood. In the evening discourse, Bhagwan emphatically declared, "I am not a human being, nor a god or a superman. I am neither a Brahmin or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or a Shudra, the caste which people relate to. Then you may ask me who I am." Bhagwan said, "I am the teacher of truth. I am truth, goodness and beauty. Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram." In Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, at the heart is Shivam, which means auspiciousness. This is in fact the name that Bhagwan gave to his biography too. If we have to understand the principle of the divine, describe him in three words, it is Satyam, Shivam and Sundaram. In fact, on the occasion of Lingodbhavam in that year, as the linga was growing in the stomach of Bhagwan, the huge gathering waited with bated breath. They sensed the cosmic undertones of the movement and they sang with eager excitement. The bhajans went on to a crescendo, and as everyone waited with that emotional spiritual euphoria, a heavy oval linga of a substance akin to an opal came up and emerged from Bhagwan. The enormous gathering shouted Jai Jai in adoration and in uncontrollable bliss. And Bhagwan then took the linga and showed it to all the people. Throughout the night, bhajan continued. The next day, when the bhajan ended, Bhagwan himself served prasadam to all the devotees. And when he addressed the gathering once again, Bhagwan said, "The Bhagavad Gita recommends karma, which means action. Then it urges us to walk on the path of dharma. So the karma," Swami said, "should be untainted by any desire for fruits. After karma and dharma comes moksha." And Swami says that all dharma have to be given up so that moksha can be attained. Swami says even the desire for moksha has to be given up, because any desire is binding, urging all to walk on this path of karma, dharma and moksha. Swami says, awake from ignorance. You know that your bondage was unreal. It was a dream which was denied when you woke. You are always free. You are always liberated. You are always the Atma that can never change or suffer. This has always been the message of Bhagwan, that we are not the body, we are not the mind. We are the Atma, and that Atma is that principle of Shiva. Arnold Schulman, a screenwriter and playwright of repute, met Bhagwan once at Whitefield and then returned to the US. He says, one day, for no reason, I just realized that I had somehow developed a compulsion of my own which I could not suppress or shake off or overcome or rationalize. I just wanted to write a book about Bhava. That just came, and it was so intense that later when I came to India, Bhagwan called me to his room and I told him about this desire, and Swami said, when the time comes, I call all those who need me to me. It was I who told you to write the book because I wanted you. Understand that. I wanted you, not the book. The Lord needs each one of us. The Lord needs the soul of each one of us to become enlightened in the light of God. And that is what the principle of Shiva does to us. As you do Abhishekam to the Shivalingam, our body gets cleaned. We cleanse ourselves from all impurities. That is the significance of doing the Abhisheka. As we sing the bhajans during Shivaratri, we control our mind and we focus on the one who is the master of time. We focus on the one who is Trigunatita and Trinetra, the one who knows our soul through and through and can take us on the path of God consciousness, holding our hand every step of the way to fill us with that principle of Shivam, ever happiness, ever bliss, eternal, perennial Ananda. So this bhajan is urging us to fill ourselves with those sublime qualities as we chant the names Shambho, Shankara, to remove our doubts, to fill ourselves with karma, bhakti and strive for the ultimate freedom of moksha and become one with the Shiva Tattva. Let us sing this bhajan once again as it is sung by the students of Bhagwan in the Prashantanilayam Mandir.
Shankara, 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 Shambho Shankara.
Shankara, 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 Shambho Shankara.
Shankara, 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 Shambho Shankara.
Krishnalakhari,
Trinetradhari.
Shankar, 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 Shambho Shankara.
Shankar, 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 Shambho Shankara.
Shiva Shambho, Hara Shambho, Shiva, Shiva, Shiva Shambho.
So that brings us to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your feedback on our WhatsApp number 9393258258. We offer this endeavor at the lotus feet of our most beloved Sai Ishwara.